are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
This morning I want to continue to talk to you on the fullness of the blessing, the power of the blessing. I believe God wants us to have a mind shift so that we can walk in everything that God has for us. Romans 15, 29, the Apostle Paul says, I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We've been talking about this. To recap very quickly, I do believe that it's God's will for you to go through life experiencing only the best that God has for you. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel refers to the completion of what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. God wants you sick no more. Say amen. Anybody fighting a battle this morning? God wants you poor no more. God wants you struggling through life no more. God doesn't want you to live in the land of depression, in the land of despair. God doesn't want you living in the place where you never get your breakthrough. I believe this series will help you to change your mind, and as you change your mind, you are going to see God's word and blessing released into your life. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law, which is threefold, spirit, soul, and body. Galatians 3:13, the Bible says, Christ has, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, and that they may receive the Holy Spirit through faith. So Jesus died so you can be blessed. He didn't die so you can suffer. He died on the cross so the blessing of Abraham can be released upon you through the Holy Spirit, through faith. He didn't only die to get you to heaven. Jesus came to give you a better quality of life here on earth. Now I can see question marks of people that haven't been in the series. Get the series. I don't have time to go through all of us, but let me say this to you this morning. James 1 verse 17, the Bible says, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, good master, Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. I want you to know God is good. God's intention toward you this morning is good. God said goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. God's not out to punish you. God's not out to destroy you. God's not out to break your back, to break your business, to destroy your business. God is out to bless you. Why? Because God loves you as a child, and secondly, because God wants you to be a blessing in this world. Can you say amen in Jesus' name? In John 10 verse 10, the Bible says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Getting up with a backache is not more abundantly. Shuffling through life is not more abundantly. The word life is Zoe, life the way God has life. Abundantly means superior in quality, super abundant in quantity. That means God wants you to have some stuff. God wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing. That's the Bible. If you don't like it, tear it out. But I'm not going to apologize for the gospel, because the gospel really is good news. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation, soteria, which includes your spirit, your soul, and your body. So Jesus died to give you a better quality of life. Also at the cross 2,000 years ago, God cut a new covenant with man. In Hebrews 8, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he's also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Under the old covenant, God says, I will remove sickness and disease from you. Under the old covenant, Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's the old covenant. Now we have a new covenant. The Bible says that have better promises. So we should not be neutral. We should not apologize for the blessing and the word of God. We should believe what Jesus came to do. Humility is not walking away from what Jesus did. Humility is accepting everything Jesus did for you. You cannot earn what God did for you. Everything you receive is by grace and grace alone. Say amen. So verse 7 says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. But God did bring a second one. And the second one is even better than the Abrahamic covenant. It's better than what Adam had in the Garden of Eden. So what Jesus did was much more than what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18 to 20, the Bible says, but God is faithful. Our word to you was not yes and no, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. What is he saying? When we preach Christ, there is no gray areas. There is no uncertainty. The will of God becomes very clear, and you can know exactly what you can expect from God. There's not no today and yes tomorrow. With God, there's only a yes, an affirmation. For all the promises of God, there he says it, in him are yes and in him amen. To the glory of God, hallelujah, through us. So I want you to realize today that God only has good things in store for you. Hallelujah. No matter how bad your past was, your future will be better. I want you to know this morning there's nothing you can do about yesterday. The tragedy of yesterday, the pain of yesterday, the brokenness of yesterday, the betrayal of yesterday, the sickness that attacked you yesterday. But you can change your mind to embrace what Jesus did for you and choose to have a better tomorrow. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, letting go or forgetting those things that are behind, I press on or I embrace those things which are ahead of me. So you need to know, you have to let go of certain things and take hold of certain things. And maybe the most important thing we have to let go of is an old negative religious mindset. A mindset that taught us the poorer, the holier, that God wants you to suffer in life. Hey, Jesus suffered on the cross 2,000 years ago. If you go into a hospital and you see how people suffer, you cannot tell me you see the nature of God. You cannot tell me that's the will of God. God doesn't even want an animal suffering. God is against suffering. Jesus suffered so you don't have to suffer. Jesus became sin so you can become righteous. Jesus took your disease upon him so you can be healthy. How, Pastor? By faith, by changing your mind and believing what God did for you. So we need a permanent mind shift. We can't move backwards and forwards. In one day God is good, the next day God's judging me. One day God wants to bless me, the next day God is teaching me a lesson. No, we have to make up our mind that the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. This is the will of God for me. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So if it's stealing, if it's killing, if it's destroying, it's never God. He's not in partnership with the devil. It is the devil that steals what God has for you in your life. Come on, give the Lord a praise because you love him. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, I'm going to share a million scriptures with you today, because you always get these clever people who come in and challenge the word. Now, I'm going to give you so much word that you're going to choke on your religion about blessing. If you ever doubt again that you are blessed, that's your choice. But I'm going to show you from the Garden of Eden to the book of Revelation that God's will for you is blessing, is abundance, is life, is provision. God wants this cloud off of your head, this guilt. God wants you to live like a child. Come on, in the name of Jesus. This is good news. Hallelujah. So lift your hand this morning if you would. If you don't want to, that's your choice. But be blessed and do this. And lift your hand and say, Father, thank you that I am blessed. Thank you that you are enlarging my territory. Thank you that your hand is upon me. Thank you that you keep me from all evil in Jesus' name. So we want a mind shift. Isaiah 4 verse 6, the Bible says, my people perish for, not lack of anointing, lack of knowledge. People don't know. Ephesians 4 verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. The blindness of their hearts. Ignorance causes people to perish. That's why Solomon said, get wisdom, get understanding. You can jump around in the front, but if you're ignorant, you will still perish. My people perish for lack of knowledge. People don't know. Or somebody sat at a funeral and somebody said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And they said, God just killed that young baby in a terrible way. It is an act of God. And then people sit there and they think, but now if this is an act of God, what is the devil doing? People get confused because in our religious statements, we misrepresent God, who is a good God, God who is love, God who does not have any evil intent in his heart toward any mankind. He put Christ Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago so that he does not have to punish you. And if Satan can steal your confidence when you go through trials and tribulations, and we'll talk about that tonight, you'll always say, God, what did I do? Did my grandfather do something wrong? My great-grandfather was a Freemason, so I guess divorce is just in our family. Well, Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come. Your identity is in Christ. For in Christ you are a new creature. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. James 1 verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Romans 12 verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God for your life. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper. That word prosper means succeed in financial matters and be in health, physical health, as your soul prospers. So we see a direct parallel between your thoughts and the life that you live. If you can change your mind, you will change the life that you live. My people perish for lack of knowledge, not lack of anointing. A lot of people that talk in tongues that are broke. A lot of people praising God, lifting their hands, and they can't make a decision. So we need knowledge. We need understanding. We need our minds renewed. And the only instrument that can change your mind is the word of God. The entrance of your word gives life. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. So we need to get our souls saved. Amen. Amen. So what is the blessing? The blessing is God's gift to us. The blessing is the anointing, which is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God in your life. The blessing comes with the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 3. That the blessing and that you may receive the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, you receive the fullness of the blessing. He lives in you. He walks in you. You are receive the power to be fruitful and to multiply. The blessing is God's empowerment, God's endowment. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So what is God saying? Without the blessing, you will not succeed in every area of life. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. So you will be successful in your marriage, in raising your children, in your soul, your emotions, your finances, your physical health. A lot of people have money, but they lose their marriage. That's not the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord adds no sorrow. The blessing of God guides you into all truth. The blessing of God teaches you to be a great parent. The blessing of God teaches you to be a businessman of integrity. The blessing of God never leaves you where it finds you. The blessing of God will take you where you cannot take yourself. In the name of Jesus, come on, will make you the head and not the tail, will set you above and not beneath. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I'm preaching, I'm talking myself happy behind this. I start talking about this, I just feel the presence of God, the anointing of God, just talking about the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God, he created them, or him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. Say, I am blessed. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God creates man in his own image. And then God breathes his life into man, and then God blesses man. Blessing empowers man to live. The blessing empowers you to do what? To be fruitful and to multiply. So whatever you touch, you can increase. No job, you can get a job. So even before the fall of man, God intended Adam and Eve to live and to walk in the power of the blessing. Remember now, what Adam lost, God restored through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So really, God always wanted man to walk dependent on him, dependent on his presence, dependent on his blessing, dependent on the anointing. Every day, God wanted man to walk in the power of the blessing, because that is your dependence on God to be fruitful and to multiply. That's where many people make a mistake. They have a measure of success, then they disconnect from God. Well, I want to tell you, no matter how great you are, God wants you to go greater. No matter how far you are, God wants you to go further. God wants to double. God wants to increase. God wants to multiply you. Come on. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be not a 30-fold Christian, not a 60-fold Christian. God wants you to be a 100-fold Christian. Can you say amen today in Jesus' name? So after Adam and Eve sinned, we know the Bible says there was wickedness upon the earth. And then God wanted to destroy mankind. Noah found grace in the sight of God. And after the flood, Noah comes with his sons and they pray to God and they offer a sacrifice and yes, a new beginning. Genesis 1:2, the first beginning. After the flood, there's a new beginning. And watch what happens again. Pay attention. Noah built an altar to the Lord, verse 20, Genesis 8, and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Can I encourage you to always pray? Because Revelation says our prayers ascend into the throne room of God as a sweet-smelling aroma. So God hears your prayer. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I've done. While the earth remains, the earth is a critical key on walking in the power of the blessing, a law that God gives. Now, God gave that law to Adam as well. It is known as the law of seed time and harvest, how you release the blessing in your life, the law of seed time and harvest. Very simply, whatever you sow, you will reap. J.B. Phillips says in Galatians 6, verse 7, the J.B. Phillips translation says, a man's harvest in life is based entirely upon the seed he has sown. So God gives you the power to sow seed to get yourself out of the crises. Amen. Because a lot of people get passive or they're waiting for the blessing to unfold. So God comes, God says, okay, I'm reaffirming the covenant I have with you, which is a covenant of blessing, and I'm reestablishing how you will walk in this blessing by applying the law that I set in motion in the beginning, while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Genesis 9 verse 1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, how do you think they were going to be fruitful and multiply the earth and multiply throughout the earth? Through the preceding verse, which is the preceding chapter. By applying the law that God gave, the law of seed time and harvest. Without seed, there can be no harvest. So when God says, be fruitful and multiply, God blesses man, but then God gives man seed, the ability to conquer adversity, applying the law that is greater by faith, the law of seed time and harvest. Abraham, let's go through the Bible quickly. Genesis 12, verse 2, remember when God called him, God said, I will make your name great, or I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Notice there is not a person that God calls, and God says, I'm not going to bless you. Every person, when they have the encounter with God, God says, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to take you further, I'm going to multiply you, I'm going to empower you to succeed. So every CRC pastor, you are blessed to increase, you are blessed to multiply. Come on, say amen and give the Lord a praise in the house. Hallelujah. So Abram is walking in the blessing of God. Are you getting something? Okay, I know you are. Genesis 22, another day in the life of Abram. He's a businessman. God wants to take him to a whole nother level. So God comes to him to test him. You say, God can't test me. You bet he can. Because he wants to take you further. But he can never take you further than your obedience. So Genesis 22 verse 1, the Bible says it came to pass after these things. Remember the Abrahamic covenant. So what happens to Abraham is applicable to us today because this is before the law. So God comes to test Abraham and he said, Abraham, and I love it. He said, here I am, Lord. Not I'm too busy. Here I am, Lord. Are you there when God talks to you? Does it take God a long time to get your attention? Are you so busy that you don't listen? Or are you so lost that you don't want to hear? So Abram hears. He says, here I am, God. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. Verse 14. So Abram, when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, we know the story, then God provides a ram for the sacrifice. In verse 14, Abram now calls the name of the place, the Lord will provide, or one of the seven redemptive names of God in the old covenant, Jehovah Jireh, Yehovah Yireh. I am the God who will provide. I am your provider. You cannot outgive me. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, the presence of God, it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time in heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, the angel, capital letter, the pre-incarnate Christ, says to the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son. He has a law. Law of seed time and harvest, released through obedience. Everybody say obedience. In blessing, I will bless you. So God already said, I'm going to bless you. But now God says, I'm going to bless you more because of your obedience. Isn't that what he says in Malachi 3? He says, prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. Give me your best. What is your best? Your tithe. Give me your best. Give me your 10%. Give me what I placed in your hands. Honor me. Same covenant. Same deal. This is not the law. This is God testing. 10 means test. People fail because they fear or they're religious, whatever the reason is. Yeah, it's very clear in the Bible. We want to walk in the continued blessing. We don't buy the blessing, but we release the blessing through obedience. I mean, God already said, I'm going to bless you. As we in the Bible read Galatians 3, we already know we are blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3, we already know we have been blessed. But how do we walk in this blessing? Obedience. Obedience. Obedience releases the flow of the blessing that's upon your life. Obedience, just obeying. O-B-E-Y. It's not difficult. It's having a humble heart, being submitted to God. Whatever God wants is yours, Lord. Every breath I breathe comes from you. This is not my life. These are not my goods. Whatever you want. So when we talk about walking in the power of the blessing, we're not talking about a life disconnected from God. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a life intertwined. We're going to get there. John chapter 15, when Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you are the branches. A life intertwined with God, where you don't do your own thing. That every move you make is in Him. Every decision you make is in Him. You walk with God all the time. So you benefit from the blessing, that sap, that life that comes from the vine, comes through your branches. You experience everything God has for you because you live intertwined with Him. Not you live over there. And you try and serve God from a distance. No, my brother, my sister, this is a relationship. Every person that follows God, He calls them to follow Him. Then He says, the reward of following me is my presence in your life. And my presence will release blessing like you never thought possible. I mean, really? Do you think you will be worse off with God in your life? Let's think about it. Well, how can I expect to be blessed? Well, with God living in you. Hello? Worse off? No. Your problem is an intellectual one. You think your 6, 7, 8% intellect is cleverer than God. So you reason with God and His Word. And you neutralize the power of the blessing and the power of God's Word in your life because maybe you had a bad experience. Maybe you had a setback. Maybe something else happened in somebody's life. Maybe you tried the Word of God. We don't try God's Word. We live by the Word of God. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We receive the reward through faith and patience. We do not wheel and deal with God. We surrender. I mean, if Jesus is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. So we're not talking about a superficial life of Christianity where you sit doing your own thing and God must just come and bless you. That's all we're talking about. I mean, God created Adam for fellowship. That was the whole deal. Bible says we were made by God, we were made for Him. So every step we take is a step of love in my relationship with God. As a doctor, I walk into that operating theater with God. Dependent on God, no matter how great a doctor I am, I realize it's Him that keeps me alive. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives you the power. K-O-W-C-A-C-H, the means, the might, the ability. It's also the anointing, which can refer back to the blessing where God says, I will give you the blessing. Remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant. So there is a purpose. So when we live disconnected from God, we get ourselves in trouble. The blessing is on your relationship, your connection with God, where you walk with God, where you listen to God more than your boyfriend's voice, more than your girlfriend's voice, where you follow the blessing, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about something that doesn't come with God. So can I ask this again? Do you really think with God in your life, your business will be worse off? You really think trusting God with your Isaac will leave you worse off? Then you better look at your relationship with God. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving in this place. You say, Pastor, that's me. I sense the Holy Ghost talking to me. If I die today, I don't even think I'll go to heaven. I served God at one time, but I've grown cold and I've wandered away from Him. But as you spoke this morning, I realized that I've lost that connection with God and I want to come back. I want to give Jesus His rightful place in my life again. Forget the people around you. Forget your wife. Listen to your heart. Is God calling you this morning, Adam, Abraham? Is He drawing you closer to Himself? Then respond this morning. Let me pray for you. Let the presence of Jesus come back and walk in the fullness of God's blessing again. In the name of Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving in this place. Up there on the floor there in Bloemfontein, everyone in this place. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Today in this place, this will change everything in your life, giving yourself to Jesus Christ. All over this place, there in Bloemfontein, forget the people around you, people praying all over this place. There's a stirring in your heart this morning. You know God is talking to you. Give me the privilege to pray for you. If that's your desire, quietly wherever you are, all over this place, the floor, the balcony, there in Bloemfontein, in Johannesburg, if that is the cry of your heart, quietly wherever you are, just raise up your hand quickly. I want to say a prayer for you. Quickly, slip your hand up all over this place. Raise it up high, high, high. High, yes, 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 yes. Many hands everywhere. Pray this prayer right now. Everybody at the altars, the many there in Bloemfontein, everybody pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart that you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I turn to you. I surrender myself to you. Thank you for loving me, for taking out a heart of stone and giving me a heart of flesh, a heart that will follow you. I give myself to you. I surrender all to you. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that I'm washed in your blood. Thank you that I am a child of God, a blessed child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.